Amen. Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to that day. What about you? Amen. But until that day, we must be about our Father's business and be preparing for that day and look forward to it, rejoice in it, and try to bring as many with us as we can. As the Lord will allow us and use us for His glory, that's what we want to do. How's that, Brother John? Sound good? All right. Well, just let me again start off by saying this. I am so, so thankful for you folks, for what you've done for my family just over the past couple of months, even in our time of coming, and as we were candidating, how much you loved on us and how much you've supported us. You've helped us financially. You have gone out of your way to do small things that have actually been really big things to us. I could just stay up here for the rest of the evening and all the ways that you've blessed us just in the past couple of months. And Joanne and I just want to give a heartfelt thank you to each of you that have prayed for us, that have just gave us a word of encouragement. And again, we are just really overwhelmed with your love right now and God's goodness and bringing us to this point. And just want to give a special thanks for the service this morning. Wasn't that a blessing, folks? Pastor Miles coming in and Ms. Bonnie and Pastor Camp, Mrs. Camp being here with us and the carpenters, just the blessing they've been to this church and just all us being together. And what a precious way we're able to honor the Lord together. So I'm thankful for you folks. Pastor, thank you for being here. And Mrs. Camp making that trip. Love you folks. And I'm thankful for what you've done in my life. If you want to go ahead and turn in your Bibles, we're going to start off in the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs. And boy, that little Caroline, she is set for at least another 2 years, I'm sure. All those gifts, that little girl, I know I took out. I'm not exaggerating. I'm not just preaching. I'm telling the truth. I took out at least 20 bags for that little girl. You ladies really did a wonderful job with that, and I'm thankful for that. And I know Joanna is as well, and we're just delighted that you folks care that much about us, and I know we really appreciate that. I saw all the diapers and all the wipes, and Joanna's like, yeah, you better appreciate those diapers. You're going to be helping change them too. So, honey, you hold me to that, okay? I know she will. Helping there. But again, just this morning in the food, you folks just did a fabulous job. Brother Camp, I'm just not sure if I'm going to be able to lose weight at this church. You know? Yeah. There you go. But I don't have a choice because my wife has already said, well, we're not buying any more suits, okay, of a bigger size. Because I talk about, well, I'm going to lose weight. Well, let's just wait till you lose weight, then you can buy a suit. So this one here is about 5 years old. I'm just kidding. It's newer than that. It's newer than that. But I do have to be careful. I will be because I love to eat and I love to eat good Southern food. And there was a lot of that. But thank you for, with all seriousness, thank you for the hard work you put in preparing those meals. And some of you even were persecuted this morning by some lasagna, I hear, hitting the floor. And man, there were some real battles going on, Brother Brock, was there not? we know that you all did it because you love the Lord and wanted to make that this day special for His glory. And I believe He was glorified, folks. And tonight is going to be a little different, as Pastor Camp mentioned this morning with his message. I kind of echo what he said with this message here. It's going to be a little unique, a little different, not your typical message. I just wanted to just share my heart with you tonight and just a time for us to sort of connect. I know we had that opportunity when we were in questioning. You guys talked back and asked questions and we were just had a good time together. But you know, after all the events of this morning and all the activity that goes along with that, everybody's hustling and bustling and rightly so, good spirit. But tonight, I just want to share my heart with you just want God to be glorified in it. And just a time, as I call it, some family time. You know, I was
talking, I can't remember if it was Brother Bachman, but I was talking about this process has reminded me in somewhat like marriage. Honestly, the candidating process was like a courting time. I mean, I came and met with the pulpit committee. They asked me some questions, wanted to find out about me. And, of course, I asked questions about you folks, and we were just got to know each other, and we agreed to, hey, come together for the glory of God. And by the way, I just want to say this up front, and I'm not just saying it. God has already just giving it's Him. It's not anything in my flesh. It's all of God has given both Joanna and me a supernatural love for you folks already. And the reason I say supernatural because it's not a natural love. We have sensed God put in our hearts a love for this church family already. And we want to say that we love you and we are just looking so forward to what God has in store for this church family. And you find your Bibles there in Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. How many of you got a nap this afternoon? That's about 85%. Amen. My pastor always said, no nap, no snap. So I'm hoping to have a little bit of snap because I know I at least got a 20-minute nap in. And also, you remember you, Brother Camp, and Brother Dietrich used to say, Pastor Camp's assistant back when we were at that church, remember he used to say one of the most spiritual things you can do sometimes is take a nap. And that is true. And, you know, Brother Miles was talking about being ornery. Well, that can help against being ornery a whole lot. But find your place in Proverbs chapter 16. And I'm just going to read verse 9, and then I'm going to read another verse. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. This is a life verse for me. It's just a very special verse. I have several life verses, but this is definitely one of the top five. And I'm just going to read it here. It says, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Wow, what a verse to explain God's leading. God expects His people to plan, but at the end, God has the last word of where that plan goes. And His plan is always perfect to where He leads. For instance, we had planned to be in Niger for all our life, for at least a very long time. And that's what we planned, that's what we worked toward. And God gave us that plan. God assigned us that plan, and that's what we went through to do, and we did do. But it was a shorter time period than I had planned. I had devised my way, my heart, and had devised a plan, but then the Lord directed my steps. And I'm so thankful that His plan is so much better than mine. And I don't say what I'm about to say just because Niger was a hard place to live. I don't say that, but I say this with all the seriousness that I can have before you. I'm so thankful that God's steps, God's direction has guided my steps to Crooked Creek Baptist Church. I'm so excited and just so filled with assurance and confidence that God has directed to this point. It's man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directs his steps. And when God directs, the steps are always better in that direction, though you may not understand it at the time. And though you may not have all the details, just let God form you and lead you. And I believe that that's what I'm referring to in this first point, is simply God's providential leading in our lives. And I'm thankful that God has led us to this point. And in fact, go ahead and look down to verse 33, same chapter. Same principle here. Man's responsibility, but also God's sovereignty. Look there in verse 33. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. And man has a responsibility that God has given him to obey the light we've been given, to obey the Word of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit. And it is God who will bring the end results. And by the way, we do need to leave results up to Him. And that's the best way to go. But I just understand in God's providential leading, I understand that God has providentially led in so many ways in this church ministry. I look at this little book down here that I picked up that the pulpit committee first gave me, and I'm sure all of you have your own copy. If you don't, you really need one. But it's this little book that the church put together upon the history of this church and how God has preserved this church throughout the past over 200 years, and how He has providentially led men of God and servants of God, one after another, over 200 years to come here and serve at Crooked Creek Baptist Church. That's God's providential leading. And I think about around over 70 pastors. You look at that last page, 70 pastors. Some were here only a year, maybe a half a year. Some five, some more. Brother Carpenter, Brother Miles, of course, were here the longest in a period of time over the past 50 years. But God providentially led these men of God and these servants of the Lord to this church for a specific reason. And that is to magnify and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's something by God's grace we will continue doing. We will continue that torch. We will continue that task to do what God has given us to do, to be the light we need to be in this community. And by the way, each of these pastors, and God, only God can do this, each one was gifted in his own way. With the special gifts He had given, and for that time, for that period, for that season that God was using this church, He used a different man of God for that. And by the way, I'm thankful that He did. And I'm thankful God likes variety. And I'm thankful that God uses all types of vessels. Amen? But one thing's for sure, they all need to be clean. But God uses all kinds of men and women, and the pastors that He used here, men of God that came and served, I'm so thankful they did. But because of their faithfulness, we're here tonight. And because of their faithfulness, we can continue on. Because of God's providential leading in their lives. You know, I know Pastor Miles' shoes, those are big shoes to fill. And Pastor Carpenter, those are big shoes to fill. And I'll be honest with you, I know that I cannot fill those men's shoes. Because God gifted them in a different way that He's gifted me. He gave them a different task and perhaps a different vision and a burden. But one thing we have in common in all our visions or whatever our burdens that God has given us, one thing I know from those two men, the vision was to that Jesus Christ be exalted and glorified in this community. And that's something that we will continue doing. I may not do things, as you well know, as Brother Miles did or Brother Carpenter or these other men over the past 200 years. Definitely will not have so everything in common. But I guarantee you this, we will make exalting Jesus the primary goal. In fact, let me say this. As I said the other night when we had family time talking and as we were candidating, I hope that the main attraction of Crooked Creek Baptist Church is the Lord Jesus Himself. I pray that that will be the main attraction for visitors that come in and for the members here, that our main attraction will be Jesus and Him alone, that we will make Him high and lifted up, that He might draw men to Himself, that men might see Jesus, I pray, is the goal of this church. You know, I don't believe for a minute that you have to bring in the extravagant rock shows and the extravagant light shows and all these things to draw men. I believe that if you have a church that's filled with the Holy Ghost and that makes much of Jesus, I believe that people will be drawn. And I believe that we can make that a focus. And being tactful and loving and compassionate, I'll talk more about that here in a minute. But the fact of the matter is, God has providentially led us to this point. He's led us to this church. And I'm so thankful that He has. And I'm thankful, as Brother Bill said this morning, and I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but the church's best days are now and the days to come. Not because of me, not because of you, but because of our great God. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but that is something that I'm so thankful for, in God's providential leading. You know, as your pastor, I want to mention a few things that I want to be to you personally. As God has providentially led me here, I won't be able to cover everything. I'm totally aware, and I better be aware, as Pastor would probably say, amen, of the qualifications of a pastor. I am totally aware that I need to submit myself under the authority of that word and of the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write to Timothy and to Titus, and to follow those qualifications and submit to those and let God form me into those characteristics. And I hope and pray that you will pray with me that God will make me and mold me to be the servant of the Lord He wants me to be here. And I will be most grateful for your prayers in that matter. But would you look with me just for a moment over in 1 Corinthians chapter 9? 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And I will begin reading in verse number 14. Now, we have Paul speaking here. He's sort of defending his apostleship, his responsibility in preaching the gospel and doing what he's doing. He's sort of defending that in a way and just letting them know that what he's doing is he's doing because he wants to please God and not men. He's wanting to serve God. He's wanting to preach the gospel because that's what he's called to do. And one of the things he said in here I wanted to note because that's what I want to be to you folks. It says here in verse number 14, "Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. But I have used none of these things." He wasn't using these things for his advantage. "Neither have I written these things that it should be so done unto me." I'm not trying to get anything out of you folks. "For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me." Now get this, in verse 18. "What is my reward then? Verily that, when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel." And as Pastor challenged me this morning, I'm challenging myself. And that's something I would never want to do, is to abuse the power that God has given me in preaching the gospel. But look what he says in verse 19, folks. "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more." And folks, I'm going to be very transparent with you, and no, I may fail at this, but I'm going to surely try my best. I am here to serve you. I am here to serve you as your pastor, as your brother in Christ. I want to be there for you any way I possibly can. Yes, I'm going to be preaching and studying and praying for you, but I just want to serve you and your family as much as possible. And along with you being a priority, but I also want to, as God will allow me, to reach out and to serve this community along with you. We together going out and serving our community, serving the people around, so that we might, as Paul's goal in everything, preach the gospel. So that men and women, boys and girls, would know the gospel of Jesus Christ. And here are some things that Pastor mentioned, and some of the things I'm about to say here are some repeats from what was said this morning and both messages. But I thought just worth repeating, and just something God put on my heart. But as your pastor in serving you, one of the first things I want and I expect is accountability. I want to be accountable to you. I'm first of all accountable to the Lord, of course. But I want to be accountable to you. And as Pastor mentioned this morning, I have a responsibility to follow Jesus Christ. And the moment I stop following Him and submitting to His authority is the moment you stop following me. And that has to be the standard. Because that's the Bible authority. That's the biblical authority that we have. And as Brother Miles mentioned, yes, there are going to be mistakes and things of that nature. We're all on both sides going to make mistakes. But the moment that your preacher and your pastor is knowingly walking in sin and going against the authority of the Word of God, I need to be kicked out of here. And I want to be accountable to you folks. And I'm thankful that you will be holding me accountable, that as I walk before you, I'll walk before you with a pure heart and seek to please my God and Savior and to be a blessing to you. I want to be accountable. I must be accountable. But also, with the fact of being accountable, I want to be approachable. As was mentioned this morning, you know, it's tempting to, when you have thoughts, and it's just our human instinct, when we have thoughts, it's tough for the flesh to actually go to that person and personally and share those things. It's much easier, I don't know about you, maybe I'm just a little weird on this, but it's much easier to talk to somebody else about it, isn't it? That's just the human instinct, but to actually go to that person. But I just want to say this, folks, I just want to be approachable to you. If I ever say anything out of line that would offend you of that nature, if it's a Bible principle and it's the Word of God, I'm sorry, I can't make any apologies about it. But if I were to ever offend you personally by something I were to say or something I were to do, I ask you, please, come to me. I will listen to you and I will hear you out. And I hope, just like I hope you hear me out. And talk about it. And at the end, we may be agreeing to disagree. I'm not sure. But the fact of the matter is, I want all of us to be approachable. And I want to be approachable as your pastor. That you can come to me anytime with any problem, with any issue, and just know that I'll be willing to talk about it and to be willing to pray about it with you. And that Jesus Christ might be exalted in it and that there might be just a spirit of unity always. I want to be approachable and accessible. Not just approachable and accountable, but accessible. And that's something that, I plan on having. I plan on having a home phone number, and I plan on having a cell number, and plan on my office door always being open for any of you to approach or to come to me at any point, any time, wee hours in the morning. I know a lot of this is not even necessary to be said. But I will say this, I just want to reiterate, I want to be accessible to you folks at any point, at any time. I want to serve you in that way. And you know, by the way, when it comes to, I know some have said, well, what should we refer to you as? And you know, I go either way on that. I want you to know that. I feel that as I'm accessible, you can call me whatever you want. Please just don't call me late for supper, okay? Because I know a lot of you cook well. But with all honesty, you can call me Brother Brinson, Brother Jennings. You can call me Pastor. I just want to be accessible and know you that I am your brother in Christ. And I know I am also your pastor. And I just want you to know I love you. And you just call me what you feel like Lord wants you to call me. And I'm here for you. And I just want to be accessible. But I also want to always be available. Whatever the case may be, I want to be there for you. I want to be a servant to you. And by the way, as I say these things, I know that Joanne and I are in total agreement to these things. And I'm thankful that my wife wants to serve you as well, and you ladies, and do what she can to help you and as we serve here together. Because, by the way, my wife and I, we are a team. Now, I know I'm the pastor, but my wife, just like she was in Niger, West Africa, she was my teammate. And she is my co-captain, if you will. And I love her so much, and I value her opinions, and I'm so thankful that the help and completer she is to me, to be the servant of the Lord that God wants me to be. And we just want to be here for this church. And we are so thankful God has given us this honorable position to serve each of you. You know, I'm so thankful for God's providential leading, but, you know, secondly, I'm thankful for God's preserving power. Look there with me in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. We were there several times this morning. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Paul said, I'll read verse 11. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. And he goes on to say, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, he says, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And I want to say here this evening that God's providentially led us to this point, but that is also because God has preserved this church and this ministry by His omnipotent power. The church has been able to go through what it's gone through. Think about this, folks. 1803. And I know you've heard that. You were here for the ceremony, I guess, 12 years ago, and many of you were and heard a lot of these things, but it's still, I'm in awe because of it. I'm amazed at God's preserving power over this church ministry. I mean, 1803, man, let me give a trivia real quick. Somebody I know's got the answer to this. What year was the first car invented? Does anybody know? It was probably Ford, right? Yes, sir. 1899. Thank you, Brother Tim. 1899. My word, that's almost 100 years before the car was even invented. And that is a long time ago, folks. But God's preserving power. Listen, how many wars has this church gone through? Counting the war in our own country, the Civil War, I think it's up to 7, I think I counted right. Nearly 7 wars, God has preserved this church with His power. Why? We'll talk more about it here in a minute. But through numerous trials and afflictions, God's preserving power upon this church ministry. And by the way, I don't believe He's done. If I can say this with reverence to God and with respect and reverence to what's been done here for over 200 years, if I can say this, I believe God is just getting started. Because God's got great plans for this community. And it is for them to turn to Jesus Christ. You know as well as I do here in Georgia and growing up in South Carolina, what we have is a lot of religion. And I worked with religious people among the Muslims in Northwest Africa. And folks, they are religious, but they deny the power thereof. I understand that every door you will knock on here, it's just our culture. If you don't have a church that you've at least attended, by the way, the church that you attended, even if it's one time, that's your church. That's the way it goes around here. Everybody's got a church. But I'm afraid most of them have not the Savior. And folks, I am convinced that the only way those people will turn is by the power and conviction of the Holy Ghost. And where does that come, church? I believe that comes, Brother Ricky, from revival. I believe when God's church gets revived, as we're seeing over in Burlington, North Carolina, and pockets all over America, people are swarming to the preaching meetings, not because they got rock bands, not because they got lights. I'm talking 100-degree weather, people pouring sweat, but they're being drawn by the power and convicting power of the Holy Ghost. And I believe that's what this community needs. I believe Athens needs a sweeping of the power of the Holy Spirit. And church, I'm trusting that God will use us to do just that. I'm praying that He starts it in me. And I'm praying He starts it at Crooked Creek to see the sweeping power of the Holy Ghost upon this place. Not because we can glory, not because we can build big buildings and get all fancy. No, that we can just see men and women, boys and girls turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. God's preserving power. He's preserved this work and He will continue to preserve it. You know, God has done an amazing work. These are 200 years. But as my dear pastor has said, And I you said this in a message, Pastor Camp, and it stuck with me. In fact, I think I was listening to your message while I was in Africa one time, just over the internet. And I think it was a New Year's message. But you made this statement, Pastor Camp, talking about the past. He says, don't let the past build on you, but build on your past. And you think about that. We could just allow the glory days just to kind of build on us. Yeah, Crooked Creek's been around 200 years. Look what's happened. Oh, yeah, this and that, all the history. And we just let that build on us. But instead, no, thank God for the 200 years that God has given us. Let's keep building. Let's keep going. Let's go as high as God will let us. And we build on that past. And hey, that's the good and the bad, because it's both happened. In all of our lives, we can apply that personally. You've made mistakes. You've failed. But don't let that build on you and suffocate you. Let that be a learning lesson to you and build on it. And keep moving forward. And I believe that's what God wants us to do. We can't live on the past, but we can most definitely build on the past. But then thirdly, in closing, we see that the Lord, our God, in His providential leading through these years, and with me and with this church and with all the other 70 pastors, and we see God's preserving power, but then thirdly, I believe God has preserved this church because of God's perpetual plan. God has a perpetual plan, ongoing, continuously. And it's still the same as it was 213 years ago. 213 years ago, when that one came forward to plant this church, they don't really know the first pastor, but they know in 1805 there was Lunsford Trawick, I believe it's pronounced. When that man came forward, do you know what God's plan was then? It was to preach the gospel, to disciple believers, and to train them for the work of the ministry that Jesus might be exalted. And guess what, folks? 213 years later, it's still the same. It has not changed. Yes, culture has changed, and modern technology we have, those things have changed, but the plan of God has not wavered one iota. And we got to stick with the main thing. As they say, we need to keep the main thing the main thing. The devil wants us to get sidetracked on this issue and that. And yes, we deal with things as they come, but the main thing is the main thing, and that's Jesus Christ being high and lifted up. Him being glorified, Him being preached, and preaching this book, making that the center of our ministry. That's God's perpetual plan. His perpetual plan has not changed. It is to worship the glorious God we serve. Like we've done today, this morning, we've worshiped God, haven't we? It's been tremendous. By the way, choir, I just want to tell you, you personally blessed my heart with those numbers this morning. You've done a phenomenal job. Brother Mike, thank you. Thank you for the hard work that's going into that. What does that help us do? You folks at choir, I want you to know that helps us worship the Lord. And that's God's plan for us, for this place to be where people can come and worship the Lord God in spirit and in truth. And that's what we're going to do. It's God's plan for us to love Him. In fact, you know what God said, the Lord Jesus said? That is the first and greatest commandment, is to love the Lord thy God with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. And we love Him. We show that by praising Him. We show that by obeying Him. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. By submission, by submitting unto God, it's God's perpetual plan for us to worship Him, to obey Him, to praise Him. That hasn't changed. But also we see to worship the glorious God we serve. But I want us to say, as I mentioned already, it is to proclaim the glorious gospel that saves. To proclaim the glorious gospel that saves. And folks, I want to tell you, you'll understand, your preacher now, that's a big burden of his. You know, I feel like, and I'm guilty too, and I say this along with you, I feel like we are guilty in our independent Baptist circles or just maybe the church in general, but I feel like we've come to a point where we want the people to come to us. We sort of get the mentality like, well, let's just invite them. They'll come here. But folks, I think we're past that point. And maybe one day we'll see revival where people will start just walking in the doors, just unheard of. But I want to tell you, I believe the primary thing, and God wants us to do first, is to go after them. To be aggressive. What does that show? That shows compassion. That shows that we care. And by the way, Pastor John Stevens, a pastor of mine in Charleston, right after I gotten saved, would say this. He says, listen, we talk about a passion for souls, and yes, that's good, that's right, but do you know that if you have a passion for God, you will have a passion for souls? So where is our passion, church? Because we can gauge that, our passion for God, we can gauge that by our passion for souls. And I believe that God's perpetual plan is for us to truly have compassion and to proclaim that glorious gospel that saves. And I'm talking about going out and meeting those that may not look like us. They may not smell like us. They may not talk like us. They may not dress like us. But they need to be reached with the gospel. And we will let God work in their hearts. And we will let the Holy Spirit mold them and make them for what He wants them to be. But we got to go and meet them where they are. And show that compassion that Jesus Christ wants us to show. He wants us to do just that. We got it all backwards in so many ways. We feel like they need to come where we are, meet us, come be like us when they can't. When they're unregenerate. They can't. They need to be saved. And then once they get saved, folks, it takes time. It takes time. It takes a church like this one that gets a burden for discipleship. Which I hope that we can start a strong discipleship program that you all will be able to personally be involved in. Teenagers too. Young people. Bringing in new converts, people that have just come to Christ and putting our arms around them, no matter how they look or smell. Just giving them the Word of God and teaching them what the Bible teaches about how we ought to live and letting God work in their lives. Hey, let me ask you something, church. Are you afraid if somebody were to come in here and they smell like alcohol in the breath, probably been drinking all night? I hope it doesn't. I hope you'll be praising God that they're in this church. Now, if it was a deacon, we would have some serious issues. But the reality is we need to be willing to welcome people and not look down on people that may not be exactly where you are or I am. But to meet them where they are and love on them and teach them the Word of God and let God do the growing. I pray that that's the sort of burden and vision that we can have together. The same in missions. I look to see the missions program grow here. I believe God's got greater things in store. As Brother Mark said this morning, as we get ready for this missions conference, I'm already excited. I'm like a kid in a candy store, folks. I'm already talking to missionaries. I'm already thinking about how we can be a blessing to them and how we can encourage them. And man, I'm just excited about that. And I'm looking forward. I'll mention this to you. I'm looking forward to us having dividing up and small groups and each small group. Maybe we'll sign them maybe once a month. You meet together and we'll have adopted missionaries and you'll be able to call them on Skype. You can talk to them, talk to their families. You can correspond with them. They will be your adopted missionaries. You'll be able to ask them what we can send you for Christmas and what we can send you in a box to encourage you. You can send cards and let them correspond. I had a church do that for me and it was one of the most encouraging things I ever saw in my whole life, folks. Those small groups, they kept up with us every month. It was made up of about three or four, sometimes five, six families in each group. They'd meet together at somebody's house once a month. They'd have some snacks or maybe a supper. They'd call the missionary, just talk on the live cam there. It was a blessing. I want us to see us do those things and make personal contact with our missionaries. And I know we love them. I know you love them. I know you loved us. And you support financially, and that's great, and prayerfully. But I believe there's something missing in a lot of our churches, and that is the personal touch, the personal contact with the missionary families, just to that they know that we love them and that we're behind them. You know, I wonder what was going through the minds of men like Joseph and Rebecca Humphreys, who we believe were some of the first ones to attend this church back in 1803. Peter and Theney Kolb and William Pitt and Eli Browning and others. I wonder what was going through their mind that day in 1803 when they met together. I wonder if they even crossed their minds that perhaps two centuries later there would be a church that still exists that's proclaiming the gospel. I wonder. I don't know, but I tell you one thing I believe they were doing. Whether they knew that there would be a church that still exists, I want to tell you what I believe they knew. I believe they knew that they were doing what God wanted them to do. They knew in their very hearts that God wanted them to have this church. And they had a task at hand, and they were going to do it. And that's where we are at 213 years later. We know in all our hearts that God has preserved this church. We know with all our hearts that God has a plan for this church. And now it is our responsibility to make ourselves available to the Almighty and continually let Him do what He wants to do. Would you look with me in closing, the last verse, and I know that's the second time I've said that, but I promise that is it. Look, Second Chronicles 16:9. This is our closing verse, sure enough. Second Chronicles 16. Now this is in the time period of where there was wicked kings in Israel, just all kinds of rebellion there against God and not obeying the Lord. And we read here in verse 9, it says here, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him." Then, of course, the bad news goes on to say, "Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars." But do you know what that verse tells me? Why has God preserved this church? How is it that God has providentially led men after men after men after men? How come God has preserved this church? It's because God has looked down on a church in Athens, Georgia, and all the world, and has found men and women, boys and girls, who have made themselves available to the Holy Spirit of God. He was looking to and fro. And over these centuries, God has found men and women at this church who have made themselves available to show Himself strong, to show Himself mighty. And I believe that success will come as we make ourselves available to God. And I'll just say it again, it's worth repeating. If we see success continue in this church, it will not be because of this preacher. If we see success in this church, it will not be because of you. If we see success in this church, it will be because our God has shown Himself strong in and through us. It will be because we have made ourselves available, saying, "Lord, you know we're not much. We don't have a whole lot to offer, God, but what we do, we want to give it all to You. And we want You to have Yourself, just have Your will and way in our lives, in our church, and let Yourself be glorified like never before in this community and all over the world." And I believe that's what God will do as we make ourselves available. Let's pray together. Father, I've shared my heart with the folks, and I appreciate the Spirit, Lord, and And I know these folks are on board 100%, God, and I'm so thankful. And Lord, we do truly want to make ourselves available. As You are looking to and fro upon the earth, God, please don't look over us. Please don't look over us, Lord. You've kept Your eyes on this place and preserved this place all these years. God, please don't look over us. But God, we want to say we still want to be used. We still want to go forward for Your glory. And I pray that You'd continue to use us for Your glory. God, I'm thankful for each one that's come tonight. I'm thankful for each of these members, Lord, that have served here faithfully. Some for a very long time. Over 50 years. And have been faithful through the tough times. Through the high times. The victorious times. Lord, I thank You for their faithfulness. And God, I just pray that that's what we will seek to echo. That's what we will seek to mimic. Just a spirit of faithfulness to be used of our great God. I thank You for the men, these pastors, over 70 pastors that labored here faithfully and have set so much groundwork, Lord, that we can continue building on. Thank You, God. Bless each of them. We pray for men like Brother Carpenter and Brother Miles, and God, we pray for their families, and we thank You for what they've meant to this ministry, Lord. And may we honor them by continuing to build and continue to be useful for our Master and our King, our Savior. Lord, we'll thank You for all that You do in and through us now. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.